Dismiss the children's church, children 4 years old through second grade, and someone will be back there to take you to children's church. I think Mrs. Connor is going to do that today. If you will, open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We have been in our Sunday morning services for a while looking at 1 and 2 Thessalonians. We took some breaks here along the way, and so it hasn't, especially as we've gotten towards the end, it hasn't been every Sunday that we've done this, but we want to finish up this morning. This will be the last message in the series. Just looking at one verse this morning, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 16, where Paul writes, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." We want to think this morning about experiencing God's peace. The story is told about two artists who set out to paint a picture representing perfect peace. The first one painted a canvas depicting a carefree lad sitting in a boat on a little placid lake without a ripple to disturb the surface. Our picture doesn't have little kids, but a couple of men out there on such a lake fishing. But the other painted a raging waterfall with winds whipping the spray about, and on a limb overhanging the swirling water, a bird had built its nest and sat peacefully brooding her eggs. Of those two pictures, though we put the one up there that pictures the placid lake, of those two pictures, actually the second depicts the kind of peace that God wants us to experience as believers. Peace in the midst of the storm. Paul says, "The Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means." The word peace speaks of quietness and rest, a calmness of heart regardless of the circumstances. And Paul, as he's closing with that benediction, if you will, he begins by just noting the fact that God is the God of peace, the Lord of peace, he calls him. In Romans 15 and verse 33, he says something similar when he says, "Now the God of peace be with you all." You know, that can mean a couple of things. Number one, God is always at peace. God is always at rest, regardless of the circumstances. God is never in turmoil. God is never wringing his hands, worried or fretting or anxious about anything. God is always at peace, no matter what's going on. But it also reminds us that God wants us to have that peace, that God imparts peace. That is, God is never in turmoil. God doesn't want us to ever be in turmoil. He wants us to enjoy rest of heart all the time. We know it is not possible to eliminate all external conflict. It's not possible that there would never be any conflict going on in our life around us with other people or circumstances. When Jesus was preparing his disciples for his departure, in his comments to them on the night that he was betrayed, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." The Lord is honest enough to admit and to tell us that, you know, there's going to be tribulation in the world. There's going to be difficult times. There's going to be trouble and trials and even conflict. That's why Paul would write in Romans 12, 18, "If it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." And even as Paul writes this letter to the Thessalonian church, you know, Paul is writing this letter from Corinth. And the Jews there had rejected the gospel that forced Paul to leave the synagogue. He had begun his ministry in the synagogue there, but because of the opposition of the unbelieving Jews, he had to leave. And we read in the book of Acts that God had to reassure Paul of safety. God gave him a vision and said, you know, "Paul, don't be afraid to preach the gospel here. I'm going to take care of you. Nobody is going to bother you. You're not going to be hurt, Paul. So you just go ahead and preach the gospel," because there was opposition. Paul was facing conflict in Corinth. And he's right, yet he writes to them, "The Lord of peace give you peace always by all means." By the way, he's also writing to believers in Thessalonica who are suffering opposition and persecution for their faith, and yet he says, you know what, God wants you to experience peace. So, obviously the peace he's talking about is not necessarily an absence of conflict externally. Now, we are admonished in the Word of God to try and eliminate external conflict as much as possible. In other words, try to get along with everybody. Again, Paul wrote If it's possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. He wrote to the Roman church, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. In other words, one of the ways that we live peaceably with all men is to have a humble spirit and to seek to focus on the things that we agree on, to have the same mind about the things of God, and to seek after peace. He wrote to the Thessalonian church, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. He wrote to the Colossian church, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. When there's conflict between us and others, when there's a disagreement, we are to go the way of peace. Let the peace of God rule. Let the peace of God be the umpire, the decision maker. We seek to maintain peace with others as much as is humanly possible. And Paul would write again to the Roman church, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Even when we disagree on some things, we're not to allow that to divide us or have conflict and arguments and strong disagreements. Sometimes we just have to agree to disagree. But the fact that Paul would say, as much as is possible, with all this within you, live peaceably, just acknowledges the fact that it's not possible to eliminate all external conflict. But it is always possible to eliminate internal conflict. It is possible always to be at peace. God wants us to experience His peace. And so as we think about that, three thoughts this morning. First of all, this peace that God wants us to experience is a gift that God gives us. And we are to experience it in all circumstances and by all means. It is a gift that God gives us. Paul again refers to Him as the Lord of peace. And he says, Himself give you peace. The Lord give you peace. This is something that God gives. When Jesus was preparing to leave, again in John 14, 27, He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's a gift of God. It's not something that we work up ourselves. It's not something we just decide, you know what, I'm just not going to let things bother me. I'm just going to become a person who doesn't care, no matter what happens. I don't care. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to be concerned about it. And I just make up my mind that I'm going to be at peace. Now, that's not the peace that God is talking about. It's not the peace that Paul is writing about. It's not something that we do. It's something that God gives us. Matter of fact, the psalmist put it this way in Psalm 29:11, the Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. And Galatians 5:22 tells us it's a result of walking in the Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit, part of the result of that is that we experience God's peace. It is a supernatural work of the Spirit of God as we're yielding to Him. It's also imparted to us by prayer. Really, this statement of Paul, it's a benediction, it's the closing, now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. It's not in a form that we would normally recognize as a prayer, but really it is a prayer wish of the Apostle Paul. He's praying that God would give them peace. By the way, he often opened his letters with a prayer that God would give his readers peace. In Romans, in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and so on, you find this statement, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that, on the one hand, was just a normal salutation, normal way you would open a letter to somebody, but nothing that Paul would do, and certainly no scripture, is just incidental. The fact that Paul used, even though he's using a common introduction to a letter in his day, he's not doing it without meaning. Sometimes we might write, you know, dear so-and-so, and they're not really dear to us. It's just the way you start a letter. But when Paul writes grace and peace to you, he's not just writing some form letter. That's his real wish. I really wish that God would give you grace and peace. I pray, literally, that God would give you grace and peace. So it is a gift. It's something that God gives. And Paul says, you know, the Lord give you peace always. It's something that God wants us to experience in all circumstances. When you lose your job, the natural thing is to worry. How am I going to pay the bills? Where am I going to find another job? The natural thing is all of a sudden there's this conflict. There's this internal turmoil because there's uncertainty about the future, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And so, you know, in that case, it's natural to worry, right? It's okay to worry in that situation. No. Paul said, God give you peace always, even when you lose your job. When you're diagnosed with cancer and the doctor says it's terminal, you've got 6 months to live, and there's conflict in your heart, and naturally, I mean, the natural thing to do is, right, you just lose your peace, and you're going to worry about that, and what's going to happen, and how am I going to deal with this, how is my family, there's this worry, and it's okay, right, because you've got cancer. No, always, no matter what the circumstances, when your child goes astray, when a loved one dies, when your marriage is troubled and there's conflict at home. I mean, these situations, I mean, these are difficult circumstances, and it's natural to worry. It's natural to be anxious, right? So it's okay. No, always. When you have unexpected bills, when someone is gossiping about you or spreading lies about you, I mean, it's okay to worry or to be anxious in those situations, right? No, always. God always wants you to be at peace. God always wants you to have rest in your soul when your freedoms might be taken away from you. It's okay to worry, right? I mean, it's okay to worry about what's going to happen in the future and our nation and where are we going and all this stuff that's going on, and it looks like, you know, things are moving in a direction that we may not be happy with, and we're worried, and it's okay because, I mean, our life as we have known it may change irrevocably. It's okay to worry, right? No. Always. In all circumstances. Whatever it is, whoever it is that is troubling you, God doesn't want you to be have conflict in your soul. God wants you to be at peace. Now you understand why it has to be a gift of God. Because in all those scenarios that I've described and others that we could come up with, it is not natural to be at peace. It is natural to worry. It is natural to be anxious. Only God can give us peace in those situations. And He can and He will if we will allow Him to, if we will seek it from Him. And so Paul says it's a gift from God, and God wants you to experience it always. But then he says, by all means. You know, peace is a gift from God, but he uses means to impart that gift. How does God give us that gift of peace? And we've already noted the fact that it comes in answer to prayer. If you're struggling with worry and anxiety, first thing you can do is pray, Lord, give me peace. It comes as we're filled with the Spirit, as the Spirit is in control in our life. God grants us peace. It's a supernatural work of the Spirit of God. But God uses the Bible also to give us peace. Again, in John 16:33, Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. But before he said that, he said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. If you'll just focus on what I've just been teaching you, as Christ is preparing to leave them, and he gave them a lot of instruction, even that last night, in those few hours that he was together with them in that upper room, and as he was making his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's teaching them things that they need to know, and he says, I've been telling you these things so that you can have peace, because in the world you're going to have tribulation. Let me let you in on a secret, guys. Things are about to change. I've been out in front of you, and I've been bearing the brunt of the persecution and the opposition, but I'm leaving, and you're still going to be here, and all of a sudden, all of my enemies are going to turn against you, and you're going to face it instead of me. But I still want you to have peace. And so I've told you these things so that you can experience peace. And part of that is understanding that God has overcome the world, that no matter what happens in this life, that this is not all there is. As he told them in Matthew chapter 10, don't fear those that can only kill your body. They can hurt you, they can take your life, but if they do, you simply move into eternity with God. That's the only thing your circumstances can do is cause you some pain in this life and possibly take your life, but then you get to enter into heaven and be with God forever and enter into the life of blessedness because Christ, through his death on Calvary, provided eternal life for us. He overcame the world and gave us something to hope for, something that is better awaiting us. And so we can have joy in the midst of the turmoil and the tribulation, the trials of this life. And that's why in Isaiah 26 and verse 3 we read, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Meditate on the word of God, because he trusteth in thee." Meditate on and believe the promises of God. Believe that Christ has overcome the world. Believe that there's something better awaiting you. Believe that God is your refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Matter of fact, Paul even concludes verse 16 with the words, "The Lord be with you all." The peace of God is imparted through the presence of God as he is with us, and he manifests that presence in our lives through his word. Again, if we could go around the room this morning and give testimony, no doubt many of you could testify to a time when you were going through some trial in your life, and it was a verse of Scripture that gave you peace because you were struggling with worry and anxiety about what was going on, and God brought a verse to mind, or you were reading in his Word, you're reading in your devotionals, and there was a Scripture verse that just as the Holy Spirit just kind of shine the light on that Scripture verse, all of a sudden it made sense to you, and you saw how it fit in with the circumstances, the things you were going through, and all of a sudden it just flooded your heart with peace. And that's intentional. God wants you to focus on those promises in his word that will help you. Tim K., I'll just leave it at that. By the way, we'll just call him Tim. He's the founder and director of an international mission agency. And he has cancer, and he recently started a new round of chemo, and in a recent prayer letter he wrote, he said this, he said, "In August I started a months-long chemotherapy regimen to fight the cancer that I have." He said, "There's been good days as well as days when just getting over the finish line in the evening was a win. Along this winding path, my wife and I often find ourselves sharing with each other a passage of Scripture or lines from a hymn that have lifted our spirits and given us fresh courage for that day, peace. As they've encouraged one another with a passage of Scripture, a verse, some portion of God's Word that has encouraged their hearts and given them peace, even in the face of cancer." You know, it's tragic that the Bible is an often untapped resource for strength and peace in times of trouble. Why is it that we don't go to the Bible? Why is it that when we're going through difficult times, we don't open our Bibles and say, "God, I need something. I need a promise. I need your word. I need some encouragement. Lord, show me from your word that truth is going to give me peace." Why is it we don't do that? We go talk to other people. We go try and forget. We watch TV or go shopping or do something to try and forget our troubles instead of going to the word of God and saying, "God, give me something that will help encourage me and give me peace." We act as if there is no God and his word is not really relevant. And so God wants you to have peace, but you've got to avail yourself of the means by which he gives peace, one of which is his word. There's also the encouragement of friends. In Acts chapter 28, Paul is making his way to Rome as a prisoner. And the Bible says that as they were going towards Rome, "From thence, from Rome, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage." It strengthened his heart and encouraged him. It gave him peace as he's going to face a trial before Nero. But the fact that those folks bothered to come and meet him and make the rest of the journey with him, they were with him as he made that progress, that encouraged his heart. He would write to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. He said, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. Man, what an encouragement that was to my heart. It just blessed me as he came and found me. And God will often use friends that come around in your time of trouble, and they're there, and they can be a blessing and a help. And God gives peace as you realize, you know what, I'm not in this alone. You know, if even when they're not there, the Lord is with me, and that is enough. But God also understands our human frailty, and he gives us friends to encourage us and to strengthen us. And it often does give peace of heart when we realize, you know, there are other people that care about me and what I'm going through, and I'm not in this alone. When David was running from Saul, he was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood, it says, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Jonathan encouraged David. By the way, how did he encourage him? He reminded him of the promise. He said, fear not, David. The hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul, my father, knoweth. How could Jonathan say, you know what, my father's not going to be able to do anything to you. He's not going to be able to hurt you. He's not going to be able to kill you. Don't be afraid, David. Don't just have peace in your heart, David, because you're going to be king over Israel. How did he know that? Because God had said it. See, David could be at peace even as Saul is trying to kill him and seeking his life, because the promise of God was, David, you're going to be king. Saul can't take his life. Because if Saul takes his life, God is a liar, because God told him he's going to be king. You see, it's as we trust in the promises of God. It is not just knowing those promises, but we have to actually believe them, that we can have peace. And sometimes we need friends just to remind us of the promises of God. And God uses that to grant us peace. By the way, if you find yourself as the friend trying to encourage somebody else and help them find peace, don't be like Job's friends. Don't be miserable comforters. Be careful in trying to comfort others. You know, the Bible says that they were the most comfort to him. He said they were the most comfort to him when they kept their mouth shut. For 7 days, they just sat there with him. You know, we have to learn the art of sitting quietly and letting people grieve or letting them talk. Because if you're like me and somebody's sharing their problem with me, my mind is, all right, here's the answer, here's the solution, and oftentimes it'll be, you know, here's what God says in his word, and they're sharing with me their problem, and I'm thinking about, all right, here's what you need to know, and as soon as they get done talking, and I'm going to tell them, here's what God says, here's what you need to know, and they don't need that right then. They need that, but they don't need it right then. They just need me to shut up and listen to what they're saying and let them just vent, and sometimes we need that. So we have to learn, and we have to understand, you know, when to say something and when to keep our mouth shut. But sometimes just being there with them is enough, and it encourages them, and God grants them peace just through our presence there with them. And so God uses his word, and he uses friends. By the way, Tim in that letter went on to say, quote, another thing that often buoys our hope on days when it seems to be sinking are the notes that arrive from friends reminding us that they are praying. He said, often the timing of these messages is so perfect that it seems that God himself is the postman. And then there is faith. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Believe that God has the answers, that God can give you peace. Just roll your burden onto him, and let him carry it, and let him give you peace. And the psalmist wrote, we read it this morning, Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What David is saying is, you know, I would have just given up if I hadn't believed that I was going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, I'm going to live to see the goodness of God. This trouble, this circumstance is not going to overwhelm me. It's not going to take my life. I know that I'm going to see God's goodness even in this life. And so he says, wait on the Lord, because at that moment, things were still bad. But David said, I know there's a better day coming, even here on earth. And so wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Sometimes you just have to wait for God to work. By the way, can I just share a personal testimony here for just a moment? God has rebuked me and reminded me of something here recently. And that is that he does hear our prayers, and prayers do make a difference. Twice in the last, 2 months anyway, maybe less than that, twice God has reminded me of that truth, because there's things that I've prayed for and I didn't immediately see the answer. And I'll be honest, you know, sometimes you forget, or you think, you know, does it really matter? I mean, I'm praying, but nothing's happening. And the thing we have to remember is that God doesn't always answer prayer right away. And there's been two things particularly that God has done in answer to prayer that I found out about recently, things I prayed for that now are happening. In one case, something I prayed for several years ago and just found out even this week how God answered that prayer. But the thing is, you know, it was a rebuke to me, because I prayed several years ago and nothing happened. And I just assumed God's not going to answer that prayer, or he's saying no, when all he was saying is wait. And eventually he answered that prayer. So don't give up. Wait on the Lord and be encouraged by the fact that, you know, God's listening to your prayers. And he's given you promises, and claim those promises and let those promises give you peace. Even the promise that he's hearing and will answer your prayer. In Romans 15:13, Paul writes, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we lack peace because we just don't believe the promises of God. We read them, we might even quote them, but we don't really believe them. And so we don't get the strength and encouragement from them that we need. And then lastly, there's obedience. God gives peace as we read his word, and he gives us those promises and friends that are with us and sometimes remind us of those promises, and as we believe those promises. But sometimes we rob ourselves of peace through our disobedience. Paul would write in Philippians 4 and verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. As you do what you were taught to do as a Christian, I taught you how to live the Christian life. I taught you what God wants you to do. I gave you that example. Now, if you'll just do those things, the God of peace will be with you. Sometimes we rob ourselves of peace by our disobedience, because when we don't obey God, that produces guilt. So we don't have peace, and we don't obey God. So, you know, what do you know that you ought to be doing that you're not doing? I mean, is there anything that you know, this is what God wants me to do, but I'm not doing it? The fact of the matter is, whether you realize it or not, that troubles your soul to some degree. The fact that you're not being obedient to something you know God wants you to do. And it is robbing you of peace. In some cases, it may be severe anxiety or worry, or even just unsettledness of heart. In some cases, it may be just minor. You might not even really be fully conscious of it, but it doesn't change the fact that when I'm disobedient, it produces guilt. And by the way, part of that is honoring your conscience. Because the Bible says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You know, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14, he said, I know, I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus, there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. If I think it's wrong, to me it is wrong. Now, it may be that my conscience has just not been instructed, that actually God does not call it wrong, but my conscience hasn't grown to the point or been instructed to the point that I understand that. If I think it's wrong, it is wrong for me. And until I'm confident that God approves, then if I do it thinking that it's wrong, then it is sin, and it produces guilt. If I'm not even fully persuaded in my own mind that it's right, you say, well, maybe you know, I'm not sure. Is this right or wrong? I don't know. I'm not settled one way or the other. Well, then don't do it until you are settled Because again, if it's not a faith that is, I'm fully persuaded this is right, then it is wrong. And so don't rob yourself of peace by disobedience. And by the way, Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, when he's being obedient, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Sometimes, as you're obedient, God honors that obedience by even keeping your enemies at bay, actually eliminating or keeping you from some of the conflict that might otherwise develop in your life. God is blessing you with peace. And it's not that you've earned his blessing, but God honors your obedience by granting you peace. And so, you know, God wants you to have peace. He wants you to always have rest in your soul, no matter the circumstances of your life. God wants you to always be at peace, always experience rest. And these are not all the means that God uses. Paul says, by all means, God has many ways of producing that rest. These are some that you can think about and focus on when you're struggling with peace of heart. But God wants you to have that peace, and he will grant you that peace as you seek it from him. But let me close by just noting this, that peace, that promise of peace, even that prayer for peace, is for those who are saved. Because the Bible says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. But Paul would write in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is available through Jesus Christ. You can experience that peace if you know Christ as Savior. And if you don't know Christ as Savior, you can be saved today. The Bible says that we all are sinners. We've been reminded of that already this morning. There is none righteous. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's nothing that we can do. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not what we do. We are sinners in the sight of God. Our only hope is in what Christ has done for us. God made him to be sin for us that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When Christ died upon the cross, the Bible is very clear that he took all of our sin upon himself. And he suffered all the judgment of our sin. God the Father poured out all of his wrath, all of the judgment that we deserve, poured it all out on Jesus Christ. He suffered it all for us on Calvary. And the Bible promises, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When I come to God admitting, Lord, I am a sinner, and I deserve punishment. Lord, I plead your mercy. I ask you to forgive my sin and to save me. I believe that Christ died for my sins. I believe that he rose from the dead and he's seated at your right hand today. God, I ask you to forgive me and to give me eternal life. And God promises to do that if you'll call upon him and ask him to save you. You can do that today. You can do that here this morning. If you're in this room, you can call out to God even now. Lord, save me. And he'll do it. Let's stand together for prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the promise of peace. Lord, you know the frailty of our flesh, and we struggle when things aren't going well. We struggle when there's disagreements with others, and Lord, there is that conflict that reaches into our soul, and we don't rest. Sometimes we have sleepless nights because we're worrying about something that we shouldn't be, because you've admonished us and even told us worry is sin, and you don't want us to worry. You want us to enjoy your peace. And Father, may we believe that peace is possible no matter the circumstances that we're facing. May we truly believe what you said in your word. Lord, you're not a liar. Help us not to act as if you are unfaithful, but to believe what you say, that you indeed want us to have peace, and you will give us that peace. And Lord, may we look to you and ask you for that peace of heart. And Lord, we do pray, if there's one that's with us today or watching the live stream that's not saved, Lord, may they cry out to you today, and may they claim your promise. Lord, you are faithful. You will honor your word. You will save them. You promised to do that, and you'll do that if they'll call upon you. Lord, help them to do that today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.